This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
This is This Day Rocks from Vintage Rock Pod. I'm Paul Stevenson. And today is May 17th, and we start on this day in 1966 at a gig at the Free Trade Hall in Manchester. Bob Dylan told his band to play their new song, Fucking Loud. All this happened because Dylan, who'd recently gone electric, was just about to play his latest hit, Like a Rolling Stone, when a member of the crowd, clearly a folk music purist, angrily shouted, Judas! At him. So Bob made sure the band played the song extra loud just for that man. Elsewhere on this day in 1965, the FBI ended its bizarre two-year investigation. 2 years. The incredible in-depth sting revolved around the words in the Kingsmen's hit, Louie Louie. The outcome after 2 years was that the lyrics were largely indecipherable and not obscene. On this day in 1989, Rolling Stones bassist Bill Wyman opened the Sticky Fingers restaurant in West London. If you had a big appetite, then you could have opted for the Beggar's Banquet choice on the menu. On this day in 1987, Tom Petty's home in California burnt to the ground. Thankfully, Tom and his family escaped unharmed but were understandably shaken by the blaze, which was determined to have been arson, with the perpetrator never being found. And on this day in 1963, the first Monterey Folk Festival took place. It featured Pete Seeger, Peter Paul and Mary, Joan Baez, and a still folk only at this time, Bob Dylan. But for today's main show then, we're going to focus on a legendary drummer whose birthday it is today. Yes, born on this day in 1949 in Sevenoaks in Kent, is one of prog's leading drummers, Bill Bruford. Bill was a founding member of Yes, then joined King Crimson, toured with Genesis, and founded the supergroup UK. And that was just in the 70s. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as part of Yes. Modern Drummer voted him into the magazine's Hall of Fame, and Rolling Stone magazine ranked him at 16 of their 100 Greatest Drummers of All Time list. Happy birthday, Bill. Bill is 74 years old today. Now, I haven't had the pleasure of interviewing Bill for Vintage Rock Pod, but someone I once interviewed did, author Stephen Toe. Stephen wrote the brilliant book London, Reign O'er Me, How England's Capital Built Classic Rock. I absolutely recommend you check it out. It features contributions from the likes of John Anderson from Yes and Paul Rodgers and Ian Anderson from Jethro Tull and Rod Argent and Peter Frampton, Roger Glover, Manfred Mann, Greg Lake, Rick Wakeman, Spencer Davis, Dave Davis. Honestly, there's millions of people in there. It's a real who's who. And it's a fantastic insight into that emerging rock scene of the 60s in London. Anyway, Stephen talks about meeting Bill for the book and how he ended up writing the foreword for it too. Bill Bruford, he wrote the foreword for your book. And I mean, that's fantastic. How did you manage to get that one?
I'm not sure, really. Bill is a very thoughtful, very serious person and brilliant. And I had to jump through a bunch of hoops to get an interview with him because he wanted to make sure that I was serious about this, that I had done my homework, that I was going to ask him a bunch of stupid questions. And so finally agreed, and I interviewed him in Guildford. And of course, I got on the wrong train, but that's a whole other story. Actually, I'll tell you that story. You want to hear stories, right?
Yeah, okay. Go, Frank.
So we set up a time. This is like, I don't know, I think this was 2013. And I was like, okay, you know, we'll interview him at the Guilford train station, a little coffee shop. He gave me the time, you know, whatever. And I, you know, got to Waterloo Station, London, ready to go. Spilled coffee on myself, of course. And then I get on the train and, you know, going along. And I'm like, I'm supposed to be there at 10:30. And got on the 10 o'clock train. And it's getting later and later. And I'm like, we're nowhere near Guilford. And realized I got on the local instead of the express. So I'm starting to panic. So I'm trying to get hold of him every possible way, texting, calling, email, nothing. And I'm like, I blew this interview. I blew an interview with Bill Bruford, right? So I don't know what to do. And finally, about 20 minutes late, I pull up to the train station. My phone rings. He goes, "Hello, Stephen. Are you coming?" You know? And so he waited. He was about ready to leave, but I think he probably felt sorry for me. And we did the interview. It went well. But when it came time for the forward, my publisher says, you know, reach out to some prominent people, obviously. And I gave a list of people. And then I was like, wait a minute. Because he wasn't on the list. I was like, it's got to be him. For some reason, it had to be him if he'll do it. And he did it. And I was sending him parts of the manuscript as I was writing them, each time telling him, look, this is crap. This hasn't been edited. So, you know, but he was very, very cool about it. So, yeah.
And I'll be back tomorrow with more on this day, rock goodness. So until then, take care.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.